This morning, as we welcome you, I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of John, to the Gospel of John. And as we go to the Gospel of John, we'll find there a very familiar passage of Scripture that most of you have heard. And I actually read from a lot of different versions of Scripture, everything from the King James through to the New American Standard Bible. And there's some places there was a little bit different in the particular choice of words that were used. But I found that all of these versions, in essence, were the same. So I just went ahead and, because I try to be standardized, and use the NIV this morning. But if you have your Bibles, turn there. If you don't, you can read from overhead, or you may be using your smartphone. If you're using your smartphone or your iPad, go ahead and share that you're at Voice of Praise Worship Center and share our service while you're there. But in John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus is talking to the Jews, the people that didn't necessarily accept Him. In fact, they didn't accept Him very well, but there was a portion of the Jews that we know believed in Him. It wasn't a large group of people. It was a small group of people. And sometimes, you know, we look at the church and we hear a lot so much in America, and even you hear it from me, that sometimes the church is in a minority now, and we are in a post-Christian America. But you know what? It doesn't have to be a majority of people to be a minority in the to be a majority in the kingdom of God. Jesus can take a minority of people. He can take an insignificant number of people. And I thought this week, as I was pondering on this message, I thought about Gideon and how God dispatched Gideon, and He didn't want Gideon to have too many. And I don't think I've ever shared this. I may have. If I have, forgive me for my memory failure. But a number of years ago, Sarah and I were at a conference, and in that conference, it was a prayer conference. The particular people that were overseeing that prayer conference called us out and gave us a word of knowledge, as if you would call it. Maybe you would call it a prophetic word. But they said that they spoke over my life as a pastor and our lives together, that we would go forward in the spirit of Gideon. So I'm not saying that we will never grow. I'm not saying that we will never expand. I'm not saying that our church will never increase in number. But I will say this. I believe whatever God gives us, He's also provided the anointing for us to go forward into everything that He's given us to do. Gideon proved that. Jesus is sharing with a minority of people here, but listen to what He says to them. He says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Hello. If you hold to my teaching, then you are really my disciples. Then, and that makes it very, very conditional. He says, if, and then He says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered Him, these believing Jews. They said, but we're Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? You see, they're thinking in carnal terms. They're thinking in terms of, well, I'm not in bondage to anybody. I'm not enslaved to anybody. There's nobody that is a master over me. Then Jesus answered them. Thank God Jesus answers our questions. Jesus said, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Turn to somebody next to you and say, hello, slave. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Amen. But a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I want to preach to you this morning, and that's why I specifically asked the team to sing that song last. Free indeed. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, as we Americans enter this week of summer festivities. It's the 4th of July week, and it's hitting right in the middle of the week. Thursday of this year, this week of then this year is the 4th of July. You know, sadly, it depends on which report you read. I find that some accounts say that the sad part is that the millennial generation, the Xers and the Zers that are coming up, that many of them don't even know what the 4th of July is about. To them, it's just a holiday in the middle of summer. It's like the middle of summer and you're having a big old time and it's the time you go to the lake and you do all that. And it's all about fireworks, parades, it's about family cookouts with watermelon and burnt hamburgers and the burnt weenies, which are always the best. It's about, you know, for us, it'll be about a car show and a cruise in. It'll be about late time summer vacations. To some of you in this room, it's going to be about time off work in the middle of the week. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A day off work. Yep. So the 4th of July means a lot of things to a lot of different people. But what happens is, sadly enough, we get overwhelmed with the festivities of the 4th of July. And we fail to reflect on the true meaning of what this week and what the actual day of July 4th is about. It's better known oftentimes, or used to be better known as Independence Day. That is actually the proper name. The 4th of July is just the date. The actual celebration is called Independence Day. Independence Day is recognizing the date in 1776, July 4, 1776, that this great nation would sign a declaration that they were an independent state from Great Britain. We were freed from the rule or the slavery of Great Britain. It is unequivocally stated in this great declaration, these words are given. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with a capital C, praise God. With a capital C, if that helps you any. With a capital C, they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those words, along with the remaining 4,364 words, make up what we call our Declaration of Independence. A declaration means something is declared, something is spoken. In this case, it is written, the written word that speaks we are declaring Britain. 13 colonies in 1776 said, we are no longer going to be under your rule and your authority. In other words, we are going to be set free, and we are going to be free indeed. Freedom and liberty are at the taproot of this United States of America that we live in. Because of this declaration, let me tell you what, we will get to go to the lake. Because of that declaration in 1776, we do get to go to the cruise in or the car show on July 4th. Because of that declaration, we get a day off work. Because of that declaration, we have a good reason like we really need one to have hamburgers and hot dogs and invite all of the family over and then cut a big old watermelon after we get done. And even splurge by maybe even putting salt on it. It's because of that freedom that you and I not only will celebrate the 4th of July in a few days, but it's also because of that freedom that you and I sit in this room today. It's because of that freedom that you and I can lift our hands. It's because of that freedom that you and I can sing, "Who the Sun Sets Free is free indeed, is free indeed." It's because of that freedom that you and I can get in a car and we can drive up and down the road. And some, like Dave will probably be listening or watching to this later on, he and Alicia are flying the friendly skies on their way to Canada right now on vacation for 2 weeks. And bless your heart, Dave. I feel for you, brother. But it's because of those things that we can do what we do. It's because of that declaration of freedom. But let me tell you something. Freedom comes at a cost. Regardless of what that freedom is, regardless of how it exists in our life, freedom comes at a cost. Freedom for this United States of America came at the cost of what we know and what we call an American Revolution. It's what we know as what was considered America in that time, in the latter part of the 1700s. It is what was called America in that age, what was called that not only included the 13 colonies, but up into Canada, America. What happened is they decided we will no longer be under the bondage of Great Britain. And they begin to make war and they begin to break free. And what had it started with some 2,000 people that had grown to over 2 million people in the course of 100 years or so, they had to fight to be free. You say, well, what does all that have to do with this morning, preacher? Well, here's what I want to share with you. In order to be freed, there first must be a need. Some of those 2 million people, some of those colonists, they had to realize that they had a need to be free. They had to have a need, to be free from Great Britain. You know what? Every single one of us in this room, every single person that's watching this by Facebook Live, or even if they watch it later, every person that listens to the podcast later on, however you may hear this message, every single person that hears the words that I'm speaking right now, every single one of us has a need or had a need in our life to be free. We were born into sin. We can't help that. We have nothing we can do that. Somebody asked me a while back. They said, Pastor, why does this happen? Why does that happen? Why are people born with birth defects? Why are people born with deformities? Why do good things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why does all this occur? And my only answer and my only explanation to all of that is this. We are born. We came into a sin-cursed world. And because we came into a sin-cursed world, the adverse side effects of sin happen among us every single day. Not a one of us in this room, not a person that will hear the sound of my voice can escape the adverse effects of sin. We are born into a generation that started with Adam, and we're born into that generation of sin, and we must be free from sin. There must be a need. These colonists were in bondage. You and I were in bondage of sin. If you're here this morning, or if you're listening to me and you're not saved, you are in bondage to sin. But here's the thing about it. Those colonists did not seek freedom until the bondage became painful for them. And that took over 100 years. Did you know that oftentimes you and I will not seek freedom? Even some of us, even in this room, there may be some of us that are saved. We're born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, but we're still fighting demons. We're still fighting. We're still struggling in our life. Now, I'm not saying we're demon-possessed because both can't dwell in the same house, but we're still fighting and we're struggling. We're fighting against the flesh. We're battling the flesh. We have warfare going on in our life, but we will never be free. We will never be free. We will never seek a revolution. We will never seek making a declaration until the pain becomes so great that we desire to be free. And sometimes we'll say, well, I don't understand why God lets this happen and God lets that happen. Well, I claim that I know the exact answer. But you know, I want to share a story of a family that I pastored. And this family, their son had been in and out of trouble all of his life. He almost had a revolving door to the jail cell. He stayed in and out of trouble. He stayed in and out of jail all the time. Just little stints. This little, like maybe a week or two at a time. He was in, then he was out, then he was in, then he was out. But on one occasion in his life, this man, he had now grown into more of a middle-aged man. He really got in trouble. And he found himself pulling 10 years in jail. Prison. Not just jail, but prison. And his family, they were believers. They were Christian people. Mom and dad got very upset, and they were very, and even the mom, she began to blame God, and she began to say, I don't know how God could let this happen to my son. I don't know how God could, but let me tell you something. By the pain getting so intense in that man's life, it not only saved his life physically, because he was in jail and he was forbidden to, and there was no way he could obtain the things that was killing him, if you get what I mean. Not only could he was removed from the thing that was killing him physically, but while he was in that jail cell, while he physically was incarcerated, the Holy Spirit got a hold of his life, and the pain of being locked up for all of those years became so intense that he realized, I have no one else to turn to except Jesus Christ. And in a jail cell somewhere, in some time, when some prison ministry went into the prison that he was incarcerated in, somebody went in and preached a message and witnessed to a room full of prisoners about Jesus Christ. And this fella gave his heart and his life over to Jesus. And because of that, because of the pain that was inflicted, because the pain getting bad, he not only saved his life physically, but it saved his soul, because he gave his heart and his life to Jesus Christ. You see, because and until sometimes, oftentimes, I won't say every time, but until bondage becomes painful to us, we won't seek liberty or freedom from it. And you and I have a need of being rescued. You see, Israel needed rescuing from Egypt. We know that story. It took a while. God set plague after plague after plague upon Israel, but Egypt finally let Israel go. For Daniel had a need of being rescued in a fiery furnace. Let me tell you something, I believe Daniel could feel the heat. Just like Moses, the burning bush was burning, but wasn't consumed. It was called supernatural. It's not really supernatural for God, because supernatural is just natural to God. But I believe Daniel could feel the heat. I personally do. I feel the lion's teeth, I should say. I believe Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, I believe they can feel the heat of the furnace. I believe that all of these people that need to be rescued, I believe Lazarus felt the cold darkness of a tomb. But he needed to be rescued. I believe Paul and Silas, I believe they felt the mice and the rats maybe gnawing on their toes, and the spiders and all the things that were in the deep portions of the prison that they were chained up in. I believe they felt the pain of being in prison, and that they had a need of being rescued. And God comes on the scene every single time and rescues when we find ourselves in pain. If you are in pain this morning, if you are suffering this morning, if the pain is great enough, if the pain is bad enough, if the suffering is strong enough, let me tell you, there is a rescuer for you. And if you need to be set free, the Son will set you free. A slave can't set you free, but the Son can, because who the Son sets free is free indeed. And typically, unless we have pain, oftentimes you and I won't seek freedom. I don't know everything, I realize that, but a few things I have figured out in life. Probably more prominent among guys than it is the ladies. If I had a dollar for every time that somebody has went to the hospital, or even maybe somebody that has left this world, they've passed away, and how many times have I heard families say to me, well, you know, my granddad said he had been having chest pains for 2 or 3 weeks, but he never would go to the doctor. You know, we're that way sometimes. We're that way. You know, we don't want to go to the doctor until it gets bad enough. We don't want to address the issues in our life. We don't want to address the pain. And I know we don't want to become hypochondriacs, and we don't want to, you know, become worry warts and all like that. But pain is given to us for a reason. Pain is given to us for warning signs. Pain is given to us when something hurts beyond what is reasonable. When something causes us pain, God gives that. That's a warning system that He gives to us to go and seek some physical help. And oftentimes in our life, the pain that we feel in our spirit is telling us, and it's nudging us to go and get help from the great physician, because we need to be set free. We need to be released. Let me tell you, I know several in this room right now, several of you have had heart attacks. Some of you have had cancer. Different ones of you have had different physical ailments to occur. And let me tell you what, the reason that no doubt that you are here right now is because when you paid attention to the pain that you had. And until we pay attention to the spiritual pain, listen to me, somebody listen to me real close. Until we begin to pay attention to the spiritual pain that we're having, until we begin to pay attention to the spiritual pain that is coming our way, and we begin to go to the great physician, which is the Son, and the Son that sets free, and who the Son sets free is free indeed, our pain is only going to get worse. You ever had one of those circumstances physically in your life where you've had aches and pains and you've had ailments in your body and you keep waiting, thinking it's going to get better the next day, it's going to get better the next day, and it's going to get better the next day, and it only continues to get worse? Sometimes we're that same way in our spirit. We will let our spirits ache. We will let our spirits suffer. We will let our spirits go through agony rather than just going to the doctor, which is Jesus, and saying, "Jesus, I need you to set me free. I need you to put me at liberty. I need you to release me from what is going on in my life." But we find ourselves comfortable. I want to tell you about a syndrome. It's called, I actually gave it this name, but I call it the comfort in the cage syndrome. I read this story this week of a injured bear, a black bear. And this injured bear had been, in its rehabilitation and nursing it back to health. This injured bear had spent quite a bit of time in a small cage. And as this injured bear spend its time in a small cage, its life consisted of he could walk about 12 paces in any direction. He could walk forward 12 paces. He could walk back 12 paces. He could go to the right 12 paces. He could go to the left 12 paces. 12 paces in any direction. And he was getting better. He was nursed and doctored, and the veterinarians treated him and brought him back to health. But the day came when this rehabilitated animal was to be released back into the wild so that he could finish living his life freely as a black bear in the woods. They took him deep, they took this bear in his cage deep into the wilderness. As they went into the wilderness, they opened the door of the cage, and as this bear stepped out to the cage, to the amazement of the wildlife personnel, this bear walked 12 steps and then turned and came 12 steps back. They observed him for hours to come. This bear would pace 12 steps, and he would pace 12 steps back. He would pace 12 steps in another direction, and he would pace 12 steps back. And what the zoologists arrived at, their conclusion was this, that this bear in his mind had been caged so long, and he had come under such bondage, and he was gripped to thinking that 12 paces in any direction is all he could walk, is that when he was set free, he didn't even realize it. He couldn't comprehend being free. He was free in body, but he wasn't free in mind. Are you with me? He was free in body, but he wasn't free in mind. So you and I, if we're not careful, we will find ourselves free in body, but we won't be free in spirit. I'll get ahead of myself here, but in a little bit, I'm going to share that scripture with you. I can do all things through Christ. It's not Jesus that tells us, you can't do that. You can't do this. It's not Jesus that says, you can't be a part of your church. It's not Jesus that says, you can't live right for God. It's not Jesus that says that you can't do this and you can't do that. All of the you can'ts, if you would, come from the devil, for the larger part at least. It's not, God doesn't discourage us. The Holy Spirit does not bring us discouraging words. The Holy Spirit doesn't tell us, you can only go 12 steps this way, and you can only do 12 steps that way. The cage is open, you're out of the cage. Let me tell you what happened to that bear. That bear was put back in the cage, he was brought back to a wildlife center, and because there wasn't a means of taking care of this bear, that bear was euthanized. And sometimes you and I are so much in bondage. If the enemy can keep us in bondage here, and even in spite of what we read, and the scripture we read to you this morning from John, who the Son sets free is free indeed. If the devil can keep me or you bound in our mind, we will never walk in the liberty that God has given us to walk in. And until we can find ourselves released, and realize, I'm no longer in bondage. I'm no longer caged in. I no longer am confined to 12 steps. I can run. I can leap. I can go. I can climb a tree. I can do whatever I want. Because I have been set free. Paul said, I'm at liberty to do all things. But, you know, he went in and he expounded on that a little bit. And he said, even if it offends my brother to eat meat, I will eat no meat. But yet Paul said, I'm set at liberty. Because Paul realized what it meant to be liberated in his mind and in his spirit through and by the power of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. I don't say that I'm happy. I'm happy, woohoo, every single day. I have some days that are not so happy. I have some days that are not so good. But let me tell you what. I think that when we, as believers, I think the scripture teaches us and tells us that we should be people that are empowered and we are infused with joy. But for some reason or another, it's my observation that I see a lot of miserable Christians. And when I see miserable Christians and people that are living and walking in misery all the time, it tells me, yeah, you may be free. You may be free from that burden of sin because there is power in the blood, but you have not allowed Jesus Christ to come in and to liberate your mind and to change your thinking and to set you free and take away all. Listen, Jesus holds no condemnation, but I want to tell you something. We do. We do. In our minds, we hold condemnation. In our minds, we have struggles with forgiving ourselves. With our minds, we have trouble walking more than 12 steps in any direction. We're like that bear. It's more comfortable us to stay in the cage. But if you go back in the cage, you're going to be euthanized. And I see Christians that have no joy. I see believers that have no liberty. I see believers that at least they don't walk in those things. And in order to have freedom, freedom's got to require vision. Now, I don't mean vision like with those fancy glasses that old Pug's got on there. Freedom requires vision. A Deuteronomy 28 vision. You see, our forefathers, in order for them to experience freedom that we get to experience now, they had to have a dream. They had to have a dream and they had to have a vision. It came long before Martin Luther King, although Martin Luther King, his famous words, I have a dream. We have to have a dream. We have to have a vision. We have to see something. 13 colonies of people grew from 2,000 to more than 2 million. And then they begin to see themselves as being a free and independent people. You know what? You and I, as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, And if you're here and you're not saved this morning, or you're watching and you're not saved, or if you're listening and you're not saved, you're not born again through a relationship with Jesus Christ, then you are in bondage. But there are believers that are still, there are believers. They may not be, I'm not saying you're lost, I'm not saying you're not saved, but what I'm saying is there are believers that are still walking around. You know, when Lazarus was called forth, when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." Oh, Lazarus, when Lazarus came out, that dude came out like this. Now, he was alive. He was alive. And he bounced right on out of the grave. He bounced, I believe he was standing upright. He may not have been, but just use my imagination, okay? I believe, and Lazarus just bounces right on out of the grave. But you know what? Lazarus was still wrapped up in grave clothes. Right? Lazarus still couldn't walk. Lazarus still couldn't raise his hands. Lazarus still couldn't talk until Jesus looked over at somebody and said, "Loose him and let him go." I believe with all of my heart, with all of my spiritual understanding, I believe there's many Christians that with the grave is opened up and we bounced out. And we're bouncing. Some people have been bouncing for years. We've been bouncing 25 or 30 years. And it's time to loose and let go. It's time to begin to realize that we can be free in what God's called us to be free in and allow Him to work in our lives. Solomon wrote in his words of wisdom, Proverbs 29, he said, "Where there is no vision," that means revelation, "people perish." Let me tell you something. I'm getting too old to bounce up now. For those 13 colonies that made the United States of America, revelation led to revolution. Did you hear me? Those 13 colonies, revelation led to revolution. And when we get a revelation of who Jesus is, and we get a revelation of what Jesus has done for us, and we get a true revelation of the liberty and the freedom that Christ has given us, and I'm no longer in bondage, I'm no longer wrapped up in grave clothes, I can raise my hands, I can run, I can jump, I can climb a tree, I can do whatever I want to for Jesus, as long as I'm physically able. And if He wants me to, He'll equip me to, physically. But when we realize that we have been set free, not just in word, but we are set free in truth. We're set free in truth. Then the revelation is a revolution. Let me tell you what the revolution was. The revolution was making war with the one that held them in bondage. Listen, I'm no match for the devil. I can't defeat the devil. I can't fight the devil. But the scripture declares, greater is the one that is in me than he the one that is in the world. And when I pick up on the revelation of who Jesus is, when I pick on the revelation of how Jesus works, and I pick up on the revelation of how mighty and how powerful He is, let me tell you, the revelation will take me into a revolution, and I'll say, the battle's not mine, God, but it is yours, and I'm in war. I'm in war for my soul. I'm in war for my spirit. I'm in war for joy. I'm in war for happiness, and I'm a winner, because you cannot have not and will not be defeated. So we receive that revelation of who we are, new creatures. New creatures in Christ Jesus. And the Bible declares that all the old things, He said, behold, all the old things passed away. Let me tell you, going back to Lazarus. Go back to Lazarus. I can't be insistent upon it. I can't guarantee it. I can't promise it. But I doubt very seriously that he took all of the bandages that they had wrapped him in and took it over to his grandma's house and say, "Grandma, will you make me a nice 3-piece suit out of this? I really loved it. I like to hang on to it." No. Maybe he burnt the grave clothes. I don't know what he did with it. There's a good likelihood that's what happened. But until we realize that we have been clothed anew and we have been set free, I'm not the same old person. I'm not the same old circumstances. I'm not the same situation. I have been set free, and who the Son sets free is free indeed. We must not, listen to this. I wrote this down. Of course, I write a lot of things down. But listen to me. We must not see what we are, but we must see what we will be. As long as you see what you are, and I said this Wednesday night, and I know I'm not that much older than any of you all. In fact, I'm not a whole lot old. I'm not older than some of you all. But I spoke Wednesday night. We do have Wednesday night service, by the way, 6:30. We pray and then we have worship service. I spoke about a commercial. They used to be on TV, I don't know, maybe in the 70s, maybe it was in the 80s, I don't remember what it was. But it was on like good healthy eating habits and all like that. It's not as prominent as it is now, but even back then they did that. And it was this little lion, and this little lion come on TV, and this little lion's slogan was, "You are what you eat." If that be the case, if I am what I eat right now, I am sausage casserole, because we had breakfast, by the way. Thank everybody for breakfast. That was wonderful. I am sausage casserole and fried apple pie or baked apple pies and biscuits and gravy and 2 cups of coffee, because that's what I eat. You are what you eat. And it was promoting healthy eating habits. You are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. If you eat unhealthy, you're going to be unhealthy. But you know, there's probably no doubt there's truth in that. But you know what? But we as believers, we as people, we must not, let's look at what we are. Again, we must not see what we are, but we need to see what we will be. Because Christ is not only saving, but He's regenerative in the fact that He regenerates us, He makes us new, He changes us, He makes us all over again. All the old things have passed away, everything comes new. Now you still look like the same old person. If you was an ugly sinner, let me tell you, you don't still be an ugly Christian. If you are a pretty sinner, you don't be a pretty Christian. Okay? If you are somewhere in between, you'll still be the same. But inside of you, the spirit man is developed and changes into greater things than what you ever imagined of yourself. The Deuteronomy 28 blessing. I didn't print all this because I didn't want to flip through it, but I want you to read this. When we start seeing ourselves as we can be and we will be through Jesus Christ and quit focusing on what we are, everything will begin to change. Deuteronomy 28, reading the New American Standard Bible. Here's the Deuteronomy 28 vision. "Now it shall be, if you diligently obey your Lord, being careful to do all of His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country." Somebody say country. "Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and will flee before you 7 ways. The Lord will command a blessing upon you in your barns and in all you put your hand to. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, as He swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways." So all all the people of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your beast, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you His good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord will make the head, you the head, and you will not be the tail. And you only will be above, and you will not be underneath, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today to observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right nor to the left, to go after the other gods, nor to serve them. Let me tell you something. God just promised to Israel, which is a type of the church, which is a metaphor of the New Testament church. God just promised it, if you'll trust me, if you'll keep my commandments. Well, I've been real mean to my dad. No. Yeah, under the law, they had to follow the commandments of Moses. And the commandments of Moses are still good today. Don't misunderstand me. They're good. They had their purpose and the reason. But you know, there is one law. There is one law of freedom today. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. There's one law of freedom, and that's to accept Jesus Christ and to follow Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus said, I didn't come to kill the law, but I come to fulfill the law. And every ounce of the law, every jot and every tittle of the law is fulfilled through the plan of Jesus Christ. I can't keep all of the commandments, neither can you, so don't fool yourself and don't be fooled about me. If we could keep the commandments, Jesus wouldn't needed to hung and die on a cross and give His blood and then buried in a tomb and then was on the third day. But Jesus fulfilled all of the commandments, and in Him we are saved, we are set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, and if I will trust Him and I will believe in His commandment, everything that He has promised, I am inheritance, I'm heir to, and I am part of His inheritance. And that brings us down to this Philippians 4 and 3. I can do all things. I can do all things, an amplified version, which He has called me to do. Through Him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill His purpose, I'm self-sufficient. Listen to that. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses me. I love that. To He that infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Y'all can come back. Praise team for the music. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Listen to me. You may be in this room and you may be lost. And if you're lost, you're no different than anybody else in the sense that everybody has the need of a Savior. And if you're in this room and lost, it's a good day to get your heart and your life. Let it be found. Jesus Christ. Some people say, I found Jesus. No, you didn't. He found you. He ain't been lost. You and I have the ones been lost. And I don't want to exclude anybody from this room or anybody watching this service that may have a need of salvation or rededication in your life. I don't want to exclude you in this altar call. But I'll just tell you my heart and my spirit. This message this morning wasn't particularly pertaining to the work of evangelism and ministering to those that are lost, although we would love to introduce you to Jesus this morning. But this message is about believers that have no joy. This message is about believers that are struggling to walk in freedom. This message is about believers that are still wrapped up in grave clothes and they're just hopping around and they're just mumbling. They've been brought out of the tomb, but they've never really been loosed and let go. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. You may be in bondage to your past. You may have done things that are hideous. You may have done things that are embarrassing. You may have done things. You may have been places. You might have lived a life that you can't forgive yourself over. But I've got good news for you. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. You may be bound to circumstances. Listen. I know I came up in that era. I came up in that era that if you sit down and you analyze it, that was taught when you got saved, suddenly you became perfect. But let me tell you something. I have trouble coming to grips with that. I have trouble coming to grips with that because I realize I look back over my life and my life as a Christian has been a work in progress. And I want to tell you what, it's still a work in progress. And thank God it's going to continue to be a work in progress until they call Doug or somebody to come pick me up, you know. And until we quit seeing ourselves as we think we are, and until we begin to see ourselves as we will be, we will never have the joy and we'll never have the freedom that God intends for us to have. Well, Pastor, how can I do that? How can you do that? I can tell you this, because I'm going to bounce all the way back here real quick in just a minute, because this is why. Jesus said, "Verily I tell you that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed."